you know, I plan to give, I don't know how many lectures, which kind of try to cover something about the long ring entanglement and topological order and all kind of related stuff. Let me just very quickly summarize what we did last time. I think the in the last time we tried to introduce this local quantum, local unitary equivalence to define quantum phase. Basically, that's when the two wave function are related by so-called local unitary transformation, then we say they are in the same phase. So this local unitary transformation is described by this quantum circuit, which only acts on nearby qubits. But however, as I mentioned, that in order to define a thermodynamical system, it's very important that we have a sequence of a system going from n, n2, n3, n4 to infinity. So therefore, it's very important to have a local unitary relation between systems of a different size. And but however, to really make this happen, because unitary transformation only links system of same size. So therefore, to link a system with different size, so we need to add so-called product states. So we add the product states, and then to make a smaller system, big system, have same number of qubits, if these two can be linked by local unitary, then we say they are related. So we require the sequence of states satisfy this relation. So this is a very important relation, which means the gapped state we considered a so-called gapped liquid phase. And but there are examples which is not liquid, certainly. And maybe let me come back a little bit. And no, this is a, let me see whether this is updated. Anyway, okay, I think this is the older version. Anyway, let me just draw it. So so sometimes we find from one size, if you go to the another size, N2, it's not enough to add the product states. And you need to make two copy of the smaller size. So this N1, make two copy of them. And then maybe add a little bit of product states. Then these two go to the local unitary. Sometimes you need to do these two copies. And one example I explained last time is that. I'm already do boson. Fermion, you can do similar thing, but the local unitary have different definition. And. Yeah, so this is only for boson. Fermion can do, you can define similarly. And so like this quantum Hall state, you can stack quantum Hall state together. For this stacked quantum Hall states, which is 3D system, why you need this two copy? You need two copy because suppose you have a small system which have four layers. So this is my 3D system. Have four layers. And when you add product states, you get a bigger system. And when you add product states inside each quantum Hall layer, you will make each layer grow. So you get the bigger layers. So you still have four layers. But you still have four layers because the product state between the layer do not make up a new layer of quantum Hall states. So therefore, when you enlarge the system, try to add in product states, you never increase number of layers. So therefore, this layered quantum Hall state is not cannot grow in the expected way. So I need two copy. Then on the even Fermi liquid theory require this a multiple copy. So let me just consider a 2D system, a 2D Fermi liquid. For the 2D Fermi liquid is formed by many decoupled 1D wires. So this is the 1D Fermi liquid. So each one is a 1D Fermi liquid. Okay. And then when you try to do this enlargement, I think the things that this is you know, 2D Fermi liquid have this Fermi surface. You have the field Fermi C, you know, have a Fermi surface. But however, because in Z direction is finite, so the crystal momentum is a discrete. So you have this discrete momentum here near the Fermi surface, and here near the Fermi surface, and et cetera. But however, when you try to enlarge the system, you can see, we say the Fermi surface have the same position. This Kf is the same, remain in the same place. But however, the number of k point became finer and finer. This is more k point near Fermi surface. So this is unusual scaling. So therefore, to make this k point finer, we need to put the two systems together. So therefore, for this stacked Fermi surface, Fermi liquid theory, we again need a two. So this is what Brian Schwingel and McGreevy proposed. They call the S source renormalization. So this is a S equal two. So every time you have two copy, sometimes can need a four copy or six copy and et cetera. And so this is one thing I want to emphasize, that somehow quantum field theory is make assumption that S equal to one. So basically, in order to do quantum field theory, in order to have a continuum limit for quantum field theory, usually we require this kind of structure. And this structure also means that the ground state can be described by mirror ansatz. So the this tensor network mirror representation can describe this kind of ground states. However, but we know there are some other states. There are some other states.
Does the source number have to be an integer?
That's a good point. I don't know. so far, the people can see that it's always integer. I don't know what's been non-integer. That would be interesting. And but for this kind of states, or like Hall state, or Fermi liquid state, or stacked quantum Hall states, they don't have a mirror representation. And so the S is not equal to one. So that means those theory do not have a low energy quantum field theory description. So that's kind of interesting. So the low energy effective theory of those kind of theory, like Fermi liquid theory, is not a standard quantum field theory. I think for Fermi liquid, I think we know that we need a quantum field theory of an infinite number of field to describe low energy dynamics. And the number of field is a scale with a system size. So that is kind of a picture for Fermi liquid. But for some other theory, especially like Haas cubic code, may also, we don't know what is, actually, no, at the moment, I think we don't know what is the field theory describing this. And so for stacked quantum Hall states, we can think about this, you have many, many layer of transaction theory, but many, many gauge theory. So we need an even number of gauge field to describe a stacked quantum Hall states. So those kind of intuition that this new kind of entanglement structure actually is an example of beyond the field theory. So low energy effective theory is not a standard field theory. So this is kind of interesting, what kind of field theory describing those states. So those are kind of beyond the liquid states. Okay. And so for the fermion, I think we talked about the last time. Basically, the important thing is that the operator in this local unitary is actually can be represented by the fermion, local fermion operator. But the local fermion operator is not really local. So this local unitary are not really local. So the fermion is a very different thing. Okay, so now let's go back. So this kind of summary, what we did last time. So now let me just continue the story. So in the last time, we tried to say that the one way to make a topological order or Lagrangian entangled state is to make a superposition of a subset of configuration. If you make a superposition for all spin configuration, then you get a product state just like this. You get a product state. But if you do the subset, then it's okay. But then we emphasize that it's not arbitrarily, usually it's not good just picking any superposition, because you need to pick the superposition in such a way that the wave function can be locally defined. You know, if you just write down the wave function, yeah, you get the wave function. But this wave function, if it's not locally defined, it's hard to find the local Hamiltonian to realize this wave function as a ground state of a local Hamiltonian. So therefore, last time we emphasizing, we examined these two wave function. The both are superpositional loops. One is equivalent superposition, another is a superposition, but the sign depends on number of loop, even or odd. And these two wave functions are special. This wave function have a local definition. In a sense, we say that if a loop changes shape, the wave function do not change. But however, if a loop reconnect, either wave function do not change or wave function changes sign. You can see all these are local rules, local rule to describe wave function. And these two wave function equal to the superposition of everything, or the superposition of everything, but with a plus minus sign depend on number of loops. These two wave function happen to be constructible using local rules. Then as a result, these two wave function can be the ground state of a local Hamiltonian, because local Hamiltonian basically impose these local conditions. And this local condition will make this those wave function realizable. And so one of for the first wave function, we have a equal to superposition, we have this Torah code model. And the Torah code model, basically, we have a, say here, we have a spin on the link of a honeycomb lattice, spin 1/2 up and down. And we have this so-called Q term, it's a product of sigma z over these three spin on each vertex. You can see this term prefer either all the spin are up, so up spin means no string, or two spin down, one up. That means we have a string going around it. So this red line is means down spin. There are two down spin here, this one up spin. So this product of three sigma z is still plus one, so still have negative U energy. And so therefore this U term impose condition that the spin want to form closed loops. And then this F term basically is a product of a six spin flip around this hexagon. So that's essentially changing shape of a string. So if you apply this F operator to here, the string just changing shape. So this is a string hopping operator. So make string hop around. And this F term also, if you apply this F operator here, it can reconnect to string with the same sign. So therefore, this F term impose these two conditions. The string can change in shape, the amplitude do not change. Or string can reconnect, amplitude do not change. It's controlled by this F term. So therefore, this Hamiltonian happen to have a ground state, which is equal with the superposition for all loops, will be the ground state of this Hamiltonian. And so that is, and this one would have a untrivial Z2 topological order. And as a wonderful, very special property of a topological order is that the ground state have a fourfold degeneracy, but this particular one have fourfold degeneracy on the torus. And since we have this loop picture, it's very easy to understand why we have a fourfold degeneracy. Because you can construct four different sector of all equal to superposition of all loops on the torus, because we can have a even number of loop wrap in x direction, y direction, or even in y direction, odd in y direction, etc. So we can just have these different winding numbers. Okay, so you can check that these four sector, they are orthogonal. They are orthogonal states where string have different winding number, and these four states, they are all eigenstate of the Hamiltonian we just constructed, and that's it. But however, the more important thing is the following, is that these four states are actually so-called locally indistinguishable. That means although they are, indeed they are exact degenerate ground state of this constructed special Hamiltonian, but actually if you put a perturbation to this special Hamiltonian, you cannot lift this degeneracy. And this is a very, very important feature. So let me just try to show this more carefully. And to show this more carefully, and so it's important to introduce so-called a string operator. It's important to introduce so-called a string operator. So what is a string operator? So string operator basically is a, let me just do this. The string operator actually is a product of those sum operators. But we have three types of strings, so I need to, let me explain a little bit. So first we have this E type of string. The E type string live on the link. So this E type string is this red line, they live on the link of the lattice. Just product sigma x. So they are just a flip, the spin flip. So this E type string really create string. So if you apply this string operator to the state with up spin, they just flip a spin and you create a string. So this is like a string creation operator. But the M type string is different. M type string do not even live on the link, but they live on the dual link of dual lattice. So you connect the square, the center of a square together, so you have this dual lattice. So they have link of a dual lattice. Okay. So link of a dual lattice, and then you can multiply sigma z together. So this operator do not create a string. But however, this operator modifies the face of a string. So basically, if you apply this operator to the state, then any string, mean this string have two end. Any string which is wrapped around one end, their amplitude would change by a sign. So therefore, this operator modifies the phase of a wave function. Originally, the wave function is equal with the superposition of all loops. But after you multiply like this operator, so this M string operator, then the string go around this one end point would acquire additional minus sign. So in a sense, this end of M string is like a vortex for the loops. The loop just see this as a minus sign. So you modify the wave function, so that's a create excitation, so this M. And this epsilon string is equal with, it's a product of the two string. But to have a product is because the two string live on different lattice, so what do you mean by put two string operator together on top of each other? Well, it's this. So we first have this E string. Then we have a framing. The framing means we just displace this string in some direction by its epsilon amount, like this. So this thin blue line is a framing. Then you look at this thin blue line actually can be viewed the string on the dual sublattice, a dual lattice. So therefore, this thin blue line have M string, this red line have a E string. So that's we have the type epsilon string. Okay. And why we do this? Because this three string operator is very interesting. Actually, all these string operator, if they're close, then they will commute with Hamiltonian. So those string operator commute with Hamiltonian. So therefore, if you have open string operator act on the state, the middle of string do not cost any energy. Only end of string cost energy, because only end of string do not commute. You know, only the open end do not commute with Hamiltonian. Okay. And then here, let me make a remark. So you can see when you have a closed string operator commute with Hamiltonian, then we call that symmetry. You know, something commute with something that's symmetry. So in a sense, you can say that the Kitaev toroid model would have three type of symmetry. So what is the symmetry? Well, this is symmetry. Recently, there's a paper by Kapustin, Gaelto, and maybe Seiberg and someone. And they have a so-called Q form symmetry. The Q form symmetry. So at the beginning, I don't understand what they're talking about, but now after reading the paper more carefully, I feel their Q form symmetry, that's it. This is a Q form symmetry. So basically, it's that I think this is called a one form symmetry because we have a string. We have a string. This commutes Hamiltonian for any shape of a string. So therefore, we say that this Hamiltonian would have a one-form symmetry. I don't know what my definition of one is the same, but let's say ordinary global symmetry, we have this, the operator will define on every site rather than on the sub-manifold. So this ordinary global symmetry will be this. But here, the operator define a sub-manifold, like a string or membrane, and so that's give the Q-form symmetry. So I think in that paper, what they're talking about is something like that. And certainly, there is a issue that, let me just throw in here, comment. Is that when you add a term to the system, add a perturbation to the toroidal model, obviously, when you add a perturbation, you break those symmetries. And so it looks like a Q-form symmetry is very fragile. It's indeed is very fragile, but it's still interesting. And I don't know whether there is any condensed matter system realizing that. But however, I want to say that the physics we are going to talk about, this topology order, is related to the Q-form symmetry for this very special model. But somehow, there are certain feature of those ground state, this Langevin tunnel feature, are robust against any perturbation. So that's that's one I just that's a part I want to emphasize. So how this string operator would help us to understand the robustness of a ground state degeneracy? Well, so one important to observe is that this E-type string and M-type string, if they intersect, they don't commute. So when you try to commute this E-string loop operator and M-string loop operator, you find their commutation relation, if you want to exchange them, it depends on how many times intersect. If they intersect even times, they commute. If they intersect all times, they under-commute. And then on the torus, we can have a situation that the E-string operator and M-string operator intersect only one times, and so they anti-commute. So that means you can see that the Hamiltonian commute with the E-string operator and the M-string operator. And the E-string operator and M-string operator anti-commute, so that means the ground state must be at least twofold degenerate. Because the ground state must form a representation of this algebra of E string and M string operator, they anti-commute, so it has to be at least twofold degeneracy. And what is amazing about these twofold degeneracy is the following. You can see this twofold degeneracy is guaranteed by this so-called Q-form symmetry, not a general symmetry. And the Q-form symmetry have a certain thing. This degeneracy is protected in some sense. If you add a perturbation to the system. So we add a perturbation here, for example. When you add a perturbation here, then this E-string operator no longer commutes with Hamiltonian because you have a perturbation here. But however, you can always think about another E-string operator going this way to avoid the perturbation. And then, so even when you have a perturbation to the Hamiltonian, you still have exact algebra of E and M. And the ground state degeneracy is exactly protected. Not only approximately, it's exact degeneracy. You still have exact degeneracy. So therefore, this Q-form symmetry, this string-like symmetry, really protect the degeneracy. So that's give a notion of a local indistinguishability. Is that we can add. Suppose your system is this. You can add a perturbation, any perturbation in any local part, even a strong one, don't have to be small one. Then you'll find that this perturbation cannot lift this four-fold degeneracy. This four-fold degeneracy is still to be exactly four-fold degeneracy. And but certainly, you can consider another case that the Hamiltonian you have H0 plus sum of delta H. Which delta H just live on many patches which cover the whole system. Suppose if this delta H can cover the whole system, then in this case, you can no longer find a commuting string operator which committed Hamiltonian and among themselves, the anti-committed among themselves. So in this case, the ground state is indeed lifted. The ground inertia can be lifted by this kind of, when the perturbation on the local particle cover the whole system. But however, in this case, the degeneracy only lifted by the exponential amount, some e to the minus l to some correlation length. So that is the fourfold degeneracy have this epsilon, lift splitting is this epsilon. Yeah. So this is how and this kind of degeneracy actually is have a notion of the, let me see what I say, the code dimension. So basically, we say that these degenerate ground states can be connected by the nth order perturbation. Suppose we can think about, we have this perturbation. If you add one patch of perturbation, you cannot lift them. But if you can have n of them and cover the whole system, then they can be lifted. So there is a sense that you need n steps to lift the degeneracy. So therefore, this degeneracy epsilon is actually is like a strength of a perturbation raised to some nth power. But n is not system size, but n is just some how many steps. And this n is have a meaning in quantum information. They call the code distance. You say these two degenerate ground states are very far apart, so their code distance is n. So therefore, it's hard to lift them. And so this is in this particular case, the code distance is l. So actually, code distance is the system size l. And we can also understand this l very easily in physically. Is that you can see the end of a string operator actually is an excitation. So we have three type of a string, and then this end of string creates three type of special excitation. We call the EM epsilon type. Okay, so now we with the help of this special kind of excitation, which we call topological excitation, and then we can understand why degeneracy lift is exponential, because this string can break, and when it break, like you break, then you can move one excitation all the way around the torus. Then you remove one string, then you're connecting different sectors. So if you allow this string to break, okay. So this basically suggests that using this string operator should be a powerful way. Maybe another way to understand topological order. So this algebra of string operator. For example, we already see some algebra that this third string operator actually is a product of a first and a second string operator. Okay, so that really means that the excitation, the E type, that's the first string and the first string, M type and the second string, the combination, the bound state of these two types gave us the third type of topological excitation. So that's basically some kind of a fusion rule. This the epsilon type is E times M. So all this important feature of topological order can be read off from the string operator. Okay, and so here let me just very quickly. Similarly, you can design the Hamiltonian, which realize the second type of a local rule where the string reconnection have this minor sign. And so the important thing here is that we still keep this Q term the same. So this time just say string want to form loops, but we modify this string hopping term. So this F term just flip spins and create a string or move around. But here, basically, so we still, F term still just a flip spins. So this still flip spin around this loop. But however, we add extra phase. So when you flip spins, sometimes we have a plus one phase, sometimes we have a minus one phase. And then whether we have a plus one phase or minus one phase depends on the environment. Suppose if I just flip a spin in the place where spin all up, we create one more loop. So we hope this is flipping have a extra minus sign. So we count how many legs this we examine whether these legs of the plaquette have a string or not to see whether it's in the isolated place or not isolated. So therefore, so this term basically just examine the spins on the leg of this loop, and then determine whether we should have plus sign or minus sign. It looks complicated, but the idea is just plus minus sign depending whether the spin on the leg of this plaquette. And this would make it possible to have a very nasty Hamiltonian, but realize it's a wave function. You know, so this is kind of a typical thing that is this toy model, which realizing those nice wave function usually contain many body interaction. In this case, it's 12 body interaction. So it's very hard to realize experimentally. So one of the big issue in this business is that can you find a two-body interaction which realize all kind of topological order? So we don't know. And so that's a wonderful, very important issue. But here I just want to say from positive side, we say that if you have 18-body interaction, you can realize everything. You don't need to go, you do not need more than 18. So that is a little bit of positive. And so here I just give some example is that this toroid model or this Z2 spin liquid or this double Samian states. So they have a robust degenerate ground states. And this robust degenerate ground states can be understood from string operator. And end of string operator gave rise to so-called a special kind of excitation. So all those are characteristic feature of a topological order or long-range entanglement. So here we want to just amplify this a little bit to say, try to zoom in on this excitation. And so actually this excitation which behave like end of string is a very special kind of excitation and which is a character of all different topological order. And it will play a very important role in our understanding of topological order. So let's just examine this excitation more carefully. But here, our starting point is no longer exothermic model like a KTF model. It's some generic model. And we ask, when you have given generic many-body strongly interacting system, how do you know whether if you have a topological excitation or not? You know, when you ask, what do you mean by topological excitation? You say, in our example, in this soluble example, the topological excitation is created, is the excitation created by string operator and behave like end of string. For this special model, we can define topological excitation. But in general, how do you define? Because in general, we don't have a string operator, we don't have this Q-form symmetry. Then there's a trouble. Actually, there's a little bit of difficulty. But actually, so here I want to try to define what is a topological order. So one way to define a topological order is that let's consider translation environment system. And then we have certainly we have a ground state energy density, which is a constant. Then we may have an excitation, okay? And we say this local excitation. And what do you mean by local excitation? No, so here is falling. Let's modify the Hamiltonian a little bit. We have a trap. And this modification is only near a certain point. We just modify this Hamiltonian, we add a trap term. And then we ask, then we diagonalize this new Hamiltonian with a trap and study its ground state. Then the ground state for new Hamiltonian would have a different energy density respect to old Hamiltonian. So when I measure energy density using old Hamiltonian, the new ground state may have a bump because the trap may modify the wave function and may create energy bump. Okay. So therefore, this is the idea. We use a trap Hamiltonian to define excitation. Okay. So this is one idea. So So excitation is a trap Hamiltonian. That's it. However, there are two kinds of excitation, you know. And for one kind of excitation produced by this trap Hamiltonian is that this wave function can be changed to ground state via some local operator. So basically, you can obtain this excitation by applying local operator near x to the ground state. Then you can produce this excitation. And this we call the local excitation. And this is a very important concept. But there is another excitation called topological excitation, which is that somehow, although we have a local energy bump, but this local energy bump cannot be created by any local operator near this point. And this can happen. So when this happens, then we say that this wave function defined by this trap Hamiltonian actually corresponds to a topological excitation or topological quasi-particle. So this is probably one of the crucial definition. So how do you have a topological excitation? So in a sense, the topological excitation are trap Hamiltonian. Some trap Hamiltonian are local, some trap Hamiltonian are topological. And then there is also a type of a topological excitation. Because we can say that, because when you use trap Hamiltonian to define excitation, you have infinite number of them. You can put any trap Hamiltonian. So you have too many, so we don't want that. So therefore, we say that the two excitation are equivalent. And if two excitation are equivalent, if they can connect by local operator. So that means if you have two trap, they create two excitation. But these two excitation can be connected by a local operator. Then we say they are equivalent. So therefore, the important thing we want to study is that the equivalent class of trap Hamiltonian. Sometimes two trap Hamiltonian create excitation which cannot be connected by local operator. Sometimes they can. So we just use this to group trap Hamiltonian together, then to have an equivalence class of trap Hamiltonian. This equivalent class of trap Hamiltonian actually is our so-called topological type. So we claim that for this Torah code example is that this three type of string operator happen to create this end of string, create a three type of topological excitation. They cannot be connected to each other by local operator. And we try to say that for Torah code Hamiltonian, this is only three type, plus trivial type. So total, there's four type topological excitation, trivial type plus three non-trivial type. And so this is an example here. Okay. So from here we see that this type of topological excitation are linked to the string, and the string operator is linked to ground state degeneracy. So actually, there is a connection between number of topological type and the number of ground state degeneracy on torus. They are equal. So the number of ground state degeneracy on torus happen to determine how many topological type do you have. And for the Torah code model, we have a fourfold degeneracy. So that means we have a four topological type, trivial type plus three non-trivial type. So this is an amazing relation. By knowing the ground state degeneracy on a torus, you know how many topological excitation do you have. So now let's just go on for the excitation. Maybe later, probably next month, we'll go into more detail into excitation. But here I just gave some very simple example. So those topological excitation are very special excitation for this topological order states. And it is those excitation may have a fractional quantum number and a fractional statistics. And it's obvious because those excitations cannot be created alone. They always create in pairs. So the pair have integer quantum number, each one of them may have a fractional quantum number. So here, let's consider, try to argue why this end of string can have this fractional angular momentum. By fractional angular momentum means angular momentum not equal to integer. So usually you say angular momentum should be always integer because integer means when you rotate by 360 degrees, you go back to the same states. So this requirement imposes that angular momentum must be integer. But we do know that half integer exists, like electron spin. So why half integer can exist? Because half integer spin can exist for this topological excitation. And there's a very simple Cantor way to show this. And I like this. So this is this picture is on this paper. And so here, remember the topological excitation are excitation with a string attached. And this string is very important. This is attached string actually can modify the angular momentum, although they do not cause any energy. The string do not cause any energy, but it can affect momentum, angular momentum quantization. And so to see this angular momentum, we just perform the 360-degree rotation. Then this straight end became this hooked end. Okay. But however, there's a very special to say, this hooked end and the straight end belong to different sector. Because by local deformation and the reconnection, you can never change this hooked end to the straight end. And this is a key observation. Usually when you modify the string can fluctuating. But string fluctuation just deformation and the reconnection. But deformation reconnection cannot link these two. So therefore, and that's it. You are there. You immediately see that the 360-degree rotation is not a trivial operation. It's something. So that means angular momentum can be non-integer. That's already. So this already means that. But to see what is angular momentum, and so let's rotate them again. But to rotate this hooked end, again, let's perform a reconnection fluctuation. You know, so these two are the same thing because they are connected by reconnection fluctuation. They have same amplitude. They are same thing, basically. Okay, we do reconnection from here to here. And then we do the same 360 rotation. Then now this hook end became the straight end. So therefore, this end of string for our string liquid, it's a special thing. It go back after 720-degree rotation. And so we can think of this straight end, hook end as two bases. So this 360 rotation have this kind of matrix, 0, 1, 1, 1, 0. That's exchanging these two bases. And of course, have two eigenvalues, one and minus one. So the eigenvalue 1 corresponds integer angular momentum or integer spin, and the eigenvalue negative 1 corresponds to half integer angular momentum. So therefore, that's how we argue this end of string. One superposition have an integer spin, and another superposition have a half integer spin. And it's very interesting to see that actually this angular momentum quantization depends on the string wave function. So for another string wave function where the wave function is a minus one to number of loops, that means the reconnection have an actual minus sign. When this happens, angular momentum also changes. Because now the same argument, except that in this step, the reconnection will have this actual minus sign. So therefore, this actual minus sign means if you do this matrix representation for R60, R360 will be like 1 minus 1, 1, 0. Just 0 minus 1, 1, 0, yeah. And now the eigenvalue became I and minus I. So this matrix have eigenvalue I minus I. So that means the spin is a quarter or minus quarter. dependence to superposition. So it's interesting to see that actually the wave function or entanglement determine the fractional spin for the under string. So under string can carry a fractional quantum number such as this fractional spin. Okay. And also if you believe in this spin statistical theorem, you say that a half near spin should be, means this particle should be fermion and the integer spin should be boson. And the quarter spin should be semion. So naturally, you can also see this spin statistical theorem using this simple cartoon picture. So here we try to exchange two particles. But however, we've been careful that the string attaching particle always kind of from under, you know, attach the particle in the same way. We don't want to rotate the particle arbitrarily because that will causing some actual phase. Okay. And then we can do the string reconnection to change this string to here. Then we do another string reconnection to change this string to here. So because each string reconnection can be plus or minus sign for the two states we considered. So when you do two string reconnection, there's no sign. But now you can see that now we can say exchange became twisting of a wonderful particle by 360. So therefore, so that's it. That is a spin statistics theorem. If a twisting by 360 gave us a minus sign, exchange would give us a minus sign. That means a spin 1/2 is a fermion. Okay, so this way we can get this this spin statistics theorem. And if you do not like this cartoon picture, actually there's a better way. There's a more rigorous way to say. And here is that, but this more rigorous way only apply to toy model so far. And so basically, we need this string operator. So if you know that this some topologic excitation is created by string operator, and we know the string operator, then we can determine the statistics of end of string. So basically, it's here. So you can see here we have a string operator. And then we say the end of string is a topological excitation. They are point like particle. Then the question is that how do you know the statistics of the end of string? So this is a question. How do you know the statistics for end of string? And so actually, there is a simpler way. I don't know how to. Maybe later I can derive that. There's an even simpler way. And once you know the string operator, you know the statistics. By doing this figure 8. So we know that if you apply this string operator to the ground state, you get the ground states. And actually eigenvalue is 1 because of the remember this is like a Q form symmetry. This operator commutates Hamiltonian, and so the ground state is also eigenstate of this string operator, and actually happen to be in the model we consider happen to be eigenvalue to be 1. But however, for the closed string operator, you have an option to not apply this string operator just like this. Just apply this to the wave function. You can apply them. You can apply this part and this part. But then, you know, this the part underneath it you apply maybe later or earlier. You can have a different order. You can apply this kind of operator to the states, and when you apply this operator to the states. And Then you find this one is have some face. So there's some actual face. And this actual face is the statistics. So this is just a very abstract way, but I think there's a one way. This figure A tell you the statistics. If you know the string operator, you know the statistics. But how to kind of how to derive this is maybe this is a little bit better way to explain these results. And so in this case, we view the open string operator as a hopping operator of particles, those are topological particles. Because open string operator just move topological particle from one place to another, so it's a hopping operator. The key point here is that if you know the hopping operator of a particle, you know it's a statistics. So the point of view here is that the statistics is like a dynamical property. It's a property of Hamiltonian. It's you know the hopping operator, you know the statistics. It's not something given at the beginning of your problem, but it's something you can tune. It's a part of Hamiltonian. Okay, more or less like that. So here is that if you know the string operator, you know the open string operator. The open string operator is a hopping operator, which this T, A, B, and etc. They just this open string operator, which is a hopping operator. And then once you have a hopping operator, then we can using the hopping operator to determine statistics, but in the following way. So let's consider we have four sites, A, B, C, D. We have four sites. Okay. And then we have originally we have two particles, identical particle in A and D, but I color them differently so you can trace how they move around. But they are identical particles. They both are like end of string. So we can use the string operator to hop from A to B. So this is, let's say, then from hop from this black one to B, then from B to C. So now the black one go to C. And then we can do another string hopping, a hopping of particle from D to B. So now the white one begin to go to B. So you can see the black one on the C, white one on the B. We can change the order of a hopping. So we can say we first let D hop to B, and the B hop to C. So now the white one come to C. Then the A hop to B. So using this TBA, so we can do this hopping. So you can see that these two hopping paths produce same final configuration, except this black and white get exchanged. But physically, it's just the same state, just one particle here, one particle here. But just they can have interference. And this interference is a statistics. So therefore, we call this a statistical hopping algebra. That is, if this three hopping, you can see this red, green, blue, but now it's a reverse, blue, green, red. It's just a reverse in order. If you reverse order of a three hopping operator, to see do they have actual sign. Now, if there's a no minor sign, there's a plus sign here, that means the boson. If it's a minor sign, that means the fermion. And you can apply this algebra to this particular case. So here, this for example, just use one example. Say, remember this string, this E string, for example, this E particle is live on the vertex, this string live on the link. So this red line is an open string operator, but it's only a single operator, just a flip of a spin at one side. So this is sigma 1x. It's just an open string operator, but connecting these two vertex. And so this is one open string operator. So again, another open string operator is from D to B. It's this flip, a sigma B. This is two, and this green one is this one. Okay. And clearly, they commute. So therefore, this end of string, end of E string, this E excitation is a boson. But however, for epsilon string, for the third type of string, we have a framing. And the framing gave us additional operator, which is when it's a framing cut the link, so there's extra, you know, there's extra index here. And so this is the difference. So for this third string operator, it contains framing. And the framing means that it normally contains a spin flipping operator, also contains sigma z. But whether it contains sigma z or not depends on whether there's a framing line cut through certain link or not. If it cut through this link, so like this this blue one. So this blue one is this framing cut through this link, edge 3. So therefore it contains sigma 3z. And so this is how we construct the third string operator. It's a string plus a framing. And so once you have this actual sigma z flowing around, they do not commute anymore. So actually, in this particular case, there's a minus sign. So this is a more mathematical way to show that the end of string is a fermion. So basically, this is a way to show that the end of a third type string, this kind of string, is a fermion, and this two is a boson. So that is how the statistics was determined. And so maybe let me just skip this part. Let me just quickly go through this part. So. So later we'll go back to this, and but here just quickly describe so-called more general a way to create a long range entanglement. So we already see that we have this local rules. So the local rule can give us long range entanglement. So now we want to design more general local rule. It turns out this more general local rule have this one-to-one correspondence with some mathematics called the unitary fusion category theory. So therefore, this more general local rule have this connection to mathematical theory and can be classified as a unitary fusion category. It sounds scary, but actually it's not that scary. And so basically, the idea is that in addition to one type string, we want to have several type of string. So therefore, we can use I, J, K to label string type. So string may have many types. So in the previous example, we only have one kind of string. But now we can have many types of string. Okay? So that's one thing. Then, you know, previously we have so-called the string always found loops. So that means on any vertex, we have two strings coming in, and so the type 1 coming in, the type 0 is trivial. So therefore, this 1, 1, 0 can be joined. So therefore, the closed string condition means that on every vertex, just 1, 1, 0 can be joined. But now, if you have a more general string, you have this I, J, now here you have a K. Maybe you can specify the certain kind of I, J, K can join in the ground state. I mean, the ground state only allow certain type of configuration. And so we need some tensor, we call it NIJK, to specify whether they can join or not. Okay. And so if NIJK to 0 means they cannot join. If NIJK is not equal to 0, they can join. So this tensor NIJK just has some number tell us when they can join, when they cannot join. And so this kind of a fusion coefficient. Okay, so let's don't worry about too much about this. Okay, and then there is another thing, is that how do you describe this reconnection rule? Okay, and so. So previously we have this string can reconnect like this. But now let's redraw this. We can draw this as a, let me see, as this. So we have this this dotted line means a trivial string, or means a zero type string. This is a trivial string. We can draw this, and then this one can be, we can we can move this part to here. So then this became, I think, this one. Yeah. So we can just move this part to here. So therefore, this is a reconnection. So these two are the same thing. So there's some sign here. Maybe there's some face here. So therefore, previously we have this kind of way to do reconnection. And now, more generally, we can do this reconnection. Don't worry about this alpha, beta. So that's actual complexity. We don't worry about this here. So we have this actual reconnection. So therefore, we say that after this reconnection move, this pattern turns into this pattern. And these two patterns differ by a phase factor. But now this phase factor became a tensor because there's many index. So this phase factor may depend on those index. So just have a tensor. So therefore, this reconnection move became a tensor, not just a plus minus one. And that's it. So the key is that we have this data, this nijk describe how string can be connected. And we have this fijk l describe this reconnection move, what is the general way. So we say this data probably would allow us to determine the wave function. Those are the local rule to determine the whole wave function. And that's it. So that is the idea. He's using these two tensor to describe the whole wave function. But however, just like this reconnection move, we cannot say this move to be e to the I theta. If you put arbitrary phase, we have trouble. Because after two reconnection move, this pattern go back to this. So we should have a condition which is e to the I theta square should equal to one. Because one reconnection goes from here to here, using the same reconnection move, you can move this to this. And you should get the same results. So this requires this e to the I theta can be only plus minus one. So therefore, what that means is that there is a self-consistent condition. The self-consistent condition basically means the following. So suppose we start with, we have two configurations. We want to change this configuration using reconnection move from here to go to here. But actually, there's a many way to do so. And we hope that all different paths produce the same result. Means all the different moves have a constructive interference. There is no destructive interference. And so this is self-consistent condition. And when have constructive interference, they are consistent, then the total wave function can be determined. Okay. Then for this two particular case, it turns out that there's two ways to move. We can say here we can move this leg to here, so we can do here, then move this leg to here. So therefore, after two reconnection move, means two F symbol, we get to here. Or there's another path. We can move this short leg to here to get here. Then we can move this leg to here, then we get to this one. Then we make this leg to here. Then we go back to this. So now you can see we have three reconnection moves. We have three F symbol to reach that. There's a lot of index, but if you follow index carefully, you'll find this coefficient here and this coefficient here should agree because the two different way to connect two configurations should produce the same relation. And so this we get this relation. And this is so-called the Pentagon identity. Okay. So the point is that we cannot use arbitrary N and F to describe a wave function because those are destructive interference. The wave function is messy. Okay. However, if this F and N satisfy this Pentagon identity, then all the different paths are consistent. So all the different ways to determine how wave function related are consistent. For example, using the first path, we say this wave function should be related by this factor. And using second path, we say the same pair of wave functions should be related by a different factor, but this different factor actually agree with the first one, then they are consistent. And that's it. So basically, try to solve Pandigan equation, find all the solution for F and N's. It's a way to construct all kind of entangled states. So this is a way to systematically produce a lot of a so-called highly entangled wave function. And those wave functions all have a topology order. And then there's a, and actually the mathematics for this NF symbol and for the solving Pandigan identity is the mathematics of a fusion category theory. And that's it, that's a fusion category theory. But certainly it's the baby version of that. And it's just a highly nonlinear algebraic equation. And it's a little terrible because you can see this F actually have a 10 index, total 10 index. So if each index have a range of 2, not the minimal one, there'll be 1,000 index. So this would be nonlinear algebraic equation of 1,000 unknown at least. And how many equations are there? Well, you have to see how many free index are there. Actually, there's a lot, more than, I forgot, maybe there's 18 free index, I forgot. So 2 to the 18th power, you could have a million of equation of 1,000 unknown. So usually, the number of equation is much more than number of unknown. So you may wonder, maybe there's no solution. Yeah, many times there's no solution. And but sometimes those equation collapse, there are solution. And amazingly, there's a mathematician show that if there's a solution, the solution are isolated. There's no free parameter to form the solution, except a few gauge parameter, which we know. So except some known gauge parameter, there's no, they are isolated solution. It's kind of amazing. So this solving is, so actually I don't know, so this is one of a challenge. You know how to solve a nonlinear algebraic equation of typically thousand or millions of unknown, and with the number equation is order of millions or billions equation. And if numerically, if you have a way to handle that, then you can just solve this, you can produce a table of a topology order this way. But this is a very challenging. And so one of the research directions is that whether there is a way to simplify this, whether a different way to look at this, so we can produce this table. But anyway, so this is basically, so this is a kind of a introduction of this this all different kind of topology order, and the relation to fractional statistics and etc. And I think on Thursday, I think on Thursday I probably would go into another way. Another type of a system, which is, so far, we can assume a superposition of a subset of a configuration. But there is another way to describe this, to produce a topology order, is a scrambled phase. Let me just say this a little bit. Okay. So here we just consider a subset of a spin configuration, then we just add them up. Another way is that we still consider superposition all spin configuration, but we just adding phase here, adding all kind of phase here. So actually, this way is a way of quantum Hall states. Lovely wave function is a superposition of a particle for all positions, but with some phase in front of it. And so that would be in the scrambled phase. When you scramble the phase, you also get a topology order. So that's really the quantum Hall states. So I think maybe in the next two lectures also, I probably would describe this the quantum Hall states and how the quantum Hall states relate to this all different topology order in some general way. And also next week, I will have a visitor who maybe give a talk on the quantum Hall state. I probably would discuss some quantum Hall state to kind of prepare that. Then after that, my plan is that we'll go back to this topological extension and to study more systematically what is the topological expectation? Basically, is that you know, now you have a more general wave function. So this is a more general wave function describe Hilbert category. So what is the topological expectation in this case? And how do you describe the topological expectation even? So it turns out that the same Hilbert category can also be used to describe topological excitation. So so this became a Hilbert category, or maybe a modular tensor category description for topological excitation. And so maybe that probably will be maybe later next week, or maybe after the convergence conference, I may cover something like that. So that's basically the plan. Okay. So any questions here? Yeah.
So is this structure specific to 2D?
That's a very good question. No. And so this can be generalized. And clearly you can even imagine how do you generalize. You can just just do it. And just do it. And you can even write down immediately, you know. And now in 3D dimension, you have keep drawing, and so certainly generalization falling in 3D dimension. If you just still draw these lines, then it's still same structure. Actually, it's a less rich. You have less structure if you draw lines, because in the 3D dimension, this line can cross. So there's more conditions. So actually, I did not list all the conditions. I only list Pauli identity, which is the most important relation. But there's a few others. In three dimension, you have more conditions. So you have less solutions.
You have to introduce membrane.
Exactly. To get something richer in three dimension, you need a membrane. But if you only do strings, you have something much less rich. Actually, if you only do strings, you only get a gauge theory. So Hilbert category is very much richer than 2D gauge theory. You know, here include gauge theory, but this is not all. But however, in three dimension, you get gauge theory. However, except some twisted gauge theory in three dimension, if you do this. And the twist gauge theory would allow fermions. Basically, sometimes there's a little bit of more than gauge theory. This F symbol is a little more than gauge theory. But this little more is that sometimes so-called odd representation of an string can be fermion. That's the only thing you can add. Otherwise, that's an odd string. Then for 3D to get a richer result, you need to do membranes. Now you allow membranes. And when you do membranes, now you have this, you have a membrane, you can join, you know. And the membrane can change its shape. And then these people do in loop quantum gravity, I think the PI probably is the best place to study this kind of thing. And this membrane move, and then you can, I forgot, we're gonna get a 16 symbol, 15. I think this is six, so here you have a six symbol, there the six became 15 without this actual index. With actual index, maybe there's I don't know how many more. So maybe like 20, rank 20 tensors, 20 index. So each index is a two, so you have a million unknown at least. And so this you get a richer. Yeah, this way you can get a richer structure. And I don't know what they are going to be, yeah, but this generally this is straightforward. But it's a little bit get out of hand. And so people feel uncomfortable with this.
So how many solutions are
going in 2D? We know this will be the infinite number of solution. Number of solution infinite. And so there's a way try to classify them. And that's one thing I'm trying to do at the moment, and whether there is a way to produce them. And maybe later next month I probably can say there are some ideas, but not for unitary fusion category, but for modular tensor categories here. you know, for module tensor categories, there's more conditions. There's some way to simplify this. Maybe it's simpler. For this fusion category, I don't know. I still don't know. I don't know how to handle this. Actually, I even tried to use a computer program to solve Pangan equation. It didn't produce too much. It's too hard. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay. Yeah.
So, finding gauge theory, you can find some of these data, right?
Hmm?
Finding gauge theory.
Yeah, finding gauge theory, yes, data.
Yeah, so, but if you pick a gauge theory that's a Lie group, that's a continuous group.
Very good.
Then isn't it like a 2D simpler thing, you always see
yeah.
Atlas or something?
Yeah, this is a very good point. Let me explain that. So we have a group of a finite group. The finite group, you always have a finite number of irreducible representation. Actually, this I, J, K, this I, the string type, is correspond to irreducible representation. This is a trivial type. Vacuum means trivial representation, another type. And then this, forgot this alpha, beta. This is six-year symbol, this I, J, K, L, M, N, this six-year symbol, actually is six-year symbol for this finite group. And that's a maybe plus a few weighting factor, but basically the six-year symbol finite group. So if you do this, so actually this will start it. So the six-year symbol gave a solution to this Pangan equation. Actually, this I think that's how people first discovered Pangan equation. And so six-year symbol group theory of six-year symbol produces, and that gave you the gauge theory. And then how about the continuous group? For continuous group, you see that the number of the representation numbers representation became infinite, and so there's an infinite number of quasi particle type, even topological type. So that means quantum degeneracy is infinity. So whole thing breaks down for continuous group, but only for mathematicians. For physicists, we have a way to salvage it situation, and the thing starts. This infinite number of degenerate ground states for finite system can become dynamical and behave this gapless sector of gauge theory. So actually that's how I understand the continuous group gauge theory. I view this as a topological theory, but whose ground degeneracy is infinity. And then because of infinity, there's a thermodynamic cutoff interfere with this infinity, and they develop certain kind of a gaplessness, this dynamics. And so this dynamical gauge theory, this SU2 in higher dimension, et cetera, can be viewed coming from this degenerate sector. And so this is one way to start from topological point of view to understand dynamics of the gauge theory. But that's all. But how much more one can say would be very interesting, because from this point of view, can you win the $1 million prize, say, in 2+1 dimension? It's always confined. In 3+1 dimension, it's confined, but in 4+1 dimension, it's not confined by starting from this Lorentz sector. I think the claim is that if you do this SU2 theory in 3+1 dimension, and you're supposed to have from topological point of view, you have infinite number of degeneracy. But any perturbation, any cutoff you have, immediately say this degeneracy became fully gapped. So that's a statement of confinement. There's no linear dispersing gauge boson mode. Unless you do that in 4+1 dimension, you have this dynamical mode. And but this topological point of view at least gave you a setup to attack this problem. Yeah, this is really $1 million problem. This question. Yeah. We believe yes, and I think yes. I would say yes, and this question is really also very very important question, which I did not answer here. Here, I just construct wave function. No, this wave function, just any wave function. Why this wave function non-trivial? Well, it's non-trivial. It's so hard to construct. It's so fancy, but why it corresponds to a different phase than product states? Why this? This could be just a product state after all this hard working. And then, so to show this this wave function have non-trivial topological order, we have to do one extra step, which is discover so-called string operator. You can see that, here. So here, in this Z2 example, we have this local move. Local move is one thing. And that is so-called unitary fusion category part that describes wave function. But this string operator is totally different thing. The string operator and their excitation is just another stuff. So we have to derive from the wave function to string operator, which I did not do. And so how to show that all this unitary fusion category theory actually give you this non-trivial string operator. So all this wave function can give you non-trivial string operator, which have a non-trivial topological excitation. And this is a task to show this is non-trivial. It turns out that there's a mathematics called taking so-called dream field center. There's something, if you study fusion category, there's so-called dream field center for fusion category. And the dream field center fusion category happened to be the modular tensor category, which describe the topological excitation and non-Abelian statistics on top of those wave function. It turns out, so your question actually have answered that every non-trivial fusion category have a non-trivial dream field center. That means that every non-trivial wave function here have a non-trivial non-Abelian statistics. It means that you can produce a non-trivial modular tensor category theory, which describe non-trivial non-Abelian statistics on top of this wave function. So the answer is yes, but this is a very, very good question. It's highly non-trivial. But the question is to computing quasi-particle from this wave function, how to do that. Okay, yeah, maybe that's a stop here.